B-Pod Studios.
BAP. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
What the hell's going on?
I'm hearing about the phone calls that T-Bone's getting at the moment.
I guess he's getting them from everybody.
Guys and girls.
Guys, dudes and women.
Including another heterosexual male who called to just say, hey, you're looking good, man. I'm
no,
not
he's
gay,
definitely,
but you're
he's definitely looking good.
Good.
He's definitely looking good. I'm not gay. Tom, you're good looking, dude.
People don't need Tom's email. They can just call 617-779-0985, apparently.
Why is he screaming that? Put him on the air. I think we should have it. Yeah. Give these people an opportunity to have a conversation that we could all listen to.
I agree. Hey, how you doing? I'd like to ride the train to work. I haven't ridden the train.
Have I ever told the story about Tom picking up a pool table? Oh, doctor.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom's version. I like Tom's version of him picking up the pool table.
They're the same version.
Like, no, his is slightly different, as in, like, yeah, I just picked the damn thing up because I didn't see anyone else stepping up to do it, so I took care of it.
Tom's over there kissing babies, shaking hands.
Yeah. I wasn't. I was standing in the bed of my truck.
Yeah, just shooting the breeze.
Back it up. Come this way.
The guy who sold it to me wasn't helping. I don't have all day.
Tom, I got some trees down in the backyard that they sort of cut up and are like in log form.
You want me to break them in half?
If you put on some overalls with like no shirt on and roll up your feet, your bottom of your pants where you're out there barefoot, you come over here. I'll have you move them around.
Okay. only that way?
Yes, only that way.
Okay.
So it's like, you come work in my yard as long as you do it shirtless. It'd be good.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm starting working it tomorrow. Sort of like, what do you have planned? You know, we'll get to that.
Oh yeah,
it's good time to start your yard.
What's the weather looking like for this weekend?
I think one day's pretty decent.
Saturday it's going to rain a little bit tomorrow. It's going to start to dry up, and then Sunday should be the day.
Okay, good.
At least there's one day in there this weekend. I think this will get easier once people can at least step outside the door and not be cold or wet.
Well, the week before this past week wasn't bad because you could go outside and, you know, like literally just go into the yard and, you know, throw a ball, throw a frisbee, do something with the kids and not have anyone over. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago it was okay. This past week is been rough.
People with yards have never been more thankful that they have a yard. Let me tell you that. Kid. Talking to people that live in the city, it's not easy. Not easy right now. Paul's in Canton. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the social distancing you brought up with Home Depot, Beetle. You know, did anybody watch, I'm sure they did, when the plane came with all the masks from the Patriots, which I think was a great thing. But did you see the social distancing there? None. Governor Baker was taking pictures with people. There was a cop touching somebody. There were like 50 people all right next to each other. So how are we going to social distancing if our governor and all the people are not doing it, you know, right on TV?
I didn't see what you're referring to, but I'm not saying you're wrong. The only part I saw a clip of the press conference where they were social distance. So I
can't
speak
to what
you're talking about.
Jonathan was about. Jonathan was about 10 feet behind him over his left shoulder.
Yeah, he was hidden behind the... the person doing sign language.
Who's become like, a massive star. I mean, you just can't stop watching him.
Dude's a hit.
He keeps me entertained. And was it the National Guard that was there to help them unload? Was that National Guard? Okay.
Yep, they're the ones that are moving it.
And in all fairness, some of these TV shots, you don't get the scale. It looks like they're standing like right next to each other. Now, someone could very well be 5-6 feet behind someone else, but it looks like they're standing right behind them.
I mean, I saw them taking boxes off the pallets and handing it to the next person, you know, and it's just a transfer of boxes. But, I mean, at that point, you got masks on and gloves, and you're just trying to move stuff. I don't know what else you expect them to do. Yeah, you're unloading over all just a tad under 2 million, you know, face masks from a plane. There is going to be some, you know, transfer of the boxes or contact, but you need some functionality to it. And I think they probably did the best they could, and as quickly as they could.
617-779-0985. Let's get to the possibility of the Patriots going after Tua. And that would mean drafting a short quarterback. That's what that would mean. The possibility of it, it's being written about and being discussed about the Patriots possibly moving up. We'll tell you who's writing about it, what it might mean. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
No, just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One, two,
Tua Tagovailoa for the Patriots. Is it a possibility? Here is the headline for Ben Volen yesterday. Time for the Patriots to make a big play for Tua in the draft. Big play. Volen writes that it is definitely possible that the Patriots trade up in the draft to get him. And obviously there's a connection between the Patriots and Lions. That's the connection that Volen makes with the Lions having the third pick overall. That's right. The third overall pick in the draft from Detroit. Could it end up in New England for the Patriots to draft a quarterback and to draft Tua? What's your reaction to this story, Zoe?
Well, I mean, you look at who it comes from, and it's Ben Volen. I know a lot of people like to put the tag trolling Volen on there, but there are times where he'll have some little point on something that is spot on or correct, and he ends up being the only guy that gets it. The fact that it's down to a certain guy, meaning say that they can move to the number three spot if they give up Joe Tooney and the exact number of picks that he states. Like, that is just, it's almost like almost too much information that he's getting or not getting or having his theory that you could do it. You know me, I'm not in on Tua. I don't think he can be the next guy here after Brady, but it's interesting because of the name, because of his success at that level. The type of conference he played in, who he played for, and Nick Saban, and the institutional knowledge that Belichick has with Saban. I just don't think Bill would reach up and give up that much collateral to get up to the number three spot to get a rookie that has a big injury issue, meaning his hip. If he really, now here's the thing, and where it could play, and people say, okay, maybe this thing is real. If you really believe the Baker Mayfield stuff that his agent said when right before he got drafted, don't be surprised if the Patriots move all the way up because you had that type of interest in him. And he's not a big guy either. You know, he's not a tall quarterback if you're into the 6'4" or above, thinking that should be the next guy if you're going to have that pocket guy. Offense is changing in the league. I'm interested in this because of the name. But I, if you ask me, do you think this is true? I don't. For that point.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it because this is that type of year where something like this type of outside the box type thing the Patriots would do. You know, meaning we don't know the state of the league. We don't know what's going to go on with this season. This could be the perfect time where you get a guy like this that he could rest, that could bring him in to compete. But I also hear so much that they love Stidham, which is kind of perplexing. You know?
Do trust Bill Belichick, though, to get the next guy or to target someone.
I do. Based on his quarterbacks, yes, I do.
All right, so if this were to happen, how would you react to it if it were to happen?
Well, I'd have to rethink my thoughts on Tua, because that means he's going to be here for a while, and they're going to build an offense around him or try and have the creativity to do things that help him because of the height issue. And I'm like, hey, and I said this to you, what, about a week or so ago? When we were talking quarterbacks, and we started to dabble into the draft a little bit. Those guys he plays behind in Alabama, they're 6'7", 6'8", up front. You know, it's not like they have 6'2", 6'1" linemen across the board. They got some of the biggest guys in college football that are in front of him, and look at the type of success he had. Now, he had really damn good receivers there, too. So you better get some receivers here to help him.
Yeah, I look at this as unlikely, but also...
It's intriguing. It really is, because...
I mean, it would be a great story for us to talk about if the Patriots were to move up and get the third pick in the draft. Don't get me wrong, but I think this would be the wrong guy to do it for. Short quarterbacks with hip injuries?
Who's
no,
number, who's
I
number three?
Really don't do that group.
Beetle, who has the number three pick?
The Lions.
Yeah, Hardy's Detroit Lions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Bill Belichick really, 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 really good friends with? Matt Patricia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they think that Tua's going to be there at three, this also, and this is the first thing I thought. You know how like Mike Mayock would help Bill out with Ryan Mallett, really, his arm really popped today? This could be Bill trying to drum up the interest in that number three pick to say, hey, guys, wow, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, if the Patriots are in on Tua, we should kind of be in on Tua number three. Let's give up more to go get him.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This could be Bill helping out Patricia.
I guess. Between Patricia and Bob Quinn,
something
I mean.
To get down the road from them. I don't know. This is all. Yeah. Right? Then maybe they got their eye on somebody.
Is there an Edelman trade happening?
But what would Edelman get you? I mean, we were talking about teams that wouldn't trade a third rounder for Edelman right now. So what would the Lions be willing to part with in order to get Edelman?
Didn't Amendola re-up there too?
Amendola has re-signed with Detroit. Yes,
it's like you're going to get the same type of guy. You know what I mean? You want different things across the board.
I mean, they coexisted here pretty well.
How much does
he was on a pitch count here, Beetle.
He's on a pitch count now. It's 3-4 years later now.
How much does Edelman sweeten the pot for the Lions in a trade of this scale?
Well, Hardy, it would be a much bigger trade, though, right? Edelman would become some sort of throw-in, which is insane.
It's insane.
But it would be a sweetener to put them over the top. Hey, we've got a guy that has very little real money that you're going to have to pay him. We've already paid his bonuses, and we're going to have the dead cap space that we absorb. So
Amendola gets some money.
I could see why Edelman would be an attractive choice for the Lions to get in a trade versus trading him away.
Right.
But it would be a sweetener. It wouldn't be the centerpiece, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, that's why I say, how much does that add to it? To me, it would add a lot. But I look at these things much, much differently than... I look at it from a really rudimentary... fan perspective. In some cases, I look at Julian Edelman, it's like, here's a guy who could absolutely play. For the most part, he does play. He plays through injury. He joins any team, and he instantly makes you better. Everyone else looks at it, it's like, you wouldn't do that for a guy who's only got, maybe a couple years left.
He would help Stafford.
See,
boy.
That's how I look at it, too. I think he's much more valuable than other people give him credit for, just and because I know he can play. He can play. There's no
question
about that.
When he's healthy, he's the center of your offense.
Yes.
Even when Gronkowski was here and healthy, Edelman was still the center of your offense.
And the fact that there are a lot of teams out there who would just be unwilling to even consider giving up so much as a third-round pick for Edelman, to me, is just mind-boggling. But I know that's not how football works.
One of the things that Volan brought up in his story is the Patriots could trade 23, 87, and a third-round pick along with Edelman to get the third overall pick.
Say that again, please, Beetle.
23 overall, 87 overall, a third-round pick, and also Julian Edelman. So you'd get first, a second,
it's
a third,
much.
And Edelman.
That's too much.
Way too much.
You're up
for
against
the third
the cap,
overall pick?
You're up against the cap
right now,
much as it is. You're
going to
have $100 million cap space next year.
If you're
going
to pick that guy, it is.
Oh, okay, yeah, but for the pick, but see, the Lions can't care who you're picking.
Right.
It's about the fact that they have the asset of the third overall pick, and so they need to get what it's worth. And I would say that that's not an overpay if you were to do it for the third overall pick. But I'm with you, Hardy. You're going to do all that, and then you're going to draft this guy? That just doesn't excite me. That to me, I'd be down on that. So I hope it's not true. I hope it doesn't happen. On this Edelman point, though, Tommy Curran had this, that the Patriots' possibility of trading Edelman, he's very much down on it, and he thinks it's not going to happen. He says the Patriots won't do it. And he said moving a tone-setting, chain-moving security blanket in exchange for a fourth rounder in order to save $4 million on the cap, when guard Joe Tooney is sitting there on the franchise tag waiting to be renegotiated with a possible savings of $10 million. He says, where would the Patriots' offense have been in 2019 without Edelman? Where would it have been in 2000 or 2001 without Troy Brown? He says, screwed. He says, unless the Patriots want to raise the white flag on 2020 in early April, dealing Edelman makes no sense. Is trading Edelman waving the white flag on the season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a stick mover, again, for what I would say, whether it's Stidham or whoever the next guy's going to be. He's your leader on offense. He's your lone leader on offense. You have too many leaders. All your leaders are on defense right now. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you trust N'Keal Harry? Do you trust Mohamed Sanu right now? You have no freaking tight end right now. This is all you got on offense, him and James White. You think Rex Burkhead's going to make it through 16 games? James White's getting older. Edelman's getting older, but with a healthy Edelman, he makes all the difference in the world on offense. I completely 100% agree with Curran on this. I think you wave the white flag. If you get rid of Edelman, unless you got some grander plan where you got some massive trade worked out where you're bringing somebody else in that has the type of production that this guy has when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say he's probably right. You're waving the white flag, but you know what else I would say? Waving the white flag on what?
In a weird year, huh?
On a mediocre team? Like a middle-of-the-road team?
Unless you accept that. What are you waving the white flag on? Then what are you bringing back to McCourty's and what you're bringing him back for? You know? There's something more into this. Bill's not waving he's not waving any white flag here. He's not going to do this. I think they're saddling up with Stidham and they're rolling.
And I would say that Edelman offers obviously a lot to this team and will offer a lot to whoever the quarterback is, assuming, you know, it's really a competition. I think he will offer Stidham plenty because I think Stidham's the guy. But
you need a huddle guy too, Beal. You need a huddle guy when the bleep is hitting the fan out there, late third quarter, fourth quarter, and stuff's on the line. You need somebody in that huddle that's going to be able to talk everybody down. You know, Brady used to do that.
Go ahead. Real world possibility about this season that if there ever was a season to wave a white flag on, this might be the one. What if they have a shortened season? What if they have no season? What if any of those things happen for the NFL? This would be the year to do it. This would be the year to
rethink things. Yeah,
it would be the year to take a pass and say, "Yeah, we're gonna build this team now for 2021. We think this season could be totally screwed up.
With $100 million in cap space next year, yeah.
We think this season may not even happen. If there was ever a year to wave the white flag on and treat as a full sort of re-upping, or you know, if you want to call it rebuild, whatever it is you want to call it." You know, this is the year to do it. They could look at this and say, we lucked out. This is going to be a bad year for this league. They're not going to start their games in September. We're not going to get to training camp on time. There's too much happening in the world. Let's do it. Let's get the most we can. Let's cash it in and try and accumulate as many high picks as we possibly can. I mean, that might be a reason to do it. That might be a reason they consider doing it if they're willing to factor in the schedule and the way things go forward over the next few months,
yeah,
which are, you know, it's nearly impossible to predict, but it's something to think about. We'll get to headlines with Hardy, who'll get you caught up on everything that is going on, what there is going on. And we've got more to get to with your phone calls. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. If you want to join us, jump on board. We'll talk to you coming up. Also, the possibility of a season, what the NFL doctor is saying about that possibility in college football. how it could be impacted as well. All that's on the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
It was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jeff Pasch spoke the other day about the return of the NFL. Made it sound like it was all a go. They were all set. Yeah, not so fast. Their league doctor, Dr. Sills, has something to say about that. Alan Sills says certain conditions must be met for the NFL to be able to come back. And he said that I think what was implied by Pasch was to say we are not at a point where we are saying that is absolutely not going to happen, so we should continue planning and preparations as if we're going to be able to do that, meaning going to be able to play. So Sills must have caught some of what Pasch said, and I think he wants to walk back some of it already. And Sills said that among the conditions, there need to be a few things. Number one, there needs to be widespread testing available at point of care, not at hospitals, not at drive-up testing sites. He's saying widespread testing. They can test anyone who needs a test at any time. Quick results, widespread testing. They need that to be in place, number one. And you could, you could think that that could be in place by the fall. He says, in addition to that, there needs to be no restrictions on gatherings in the places they play. So no restrictions on the number of people who can gather.
Oh, so this is not like the NBA's, potential want to get their season back up and running. So this is talking about like playing in front of 70,000 people, no restrictions.
He doesn't. And what I saw is, I don't know.
Like, that's the way I take that.
Specifies, yeah. But I mean, the way that he said was that you can't have. Let's say it's, hey, you can't have people more. You know, at one point, those gathering sizes were down to like 50, right?
Right.
No gatherings are more than 50 people. Well, putting a football team out there for practice is more than 50 people.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of fans. And so I think what he's saying is, unless those restrictions are totally gone, we're not going to be able to do this. And so this has got some people saying, yeah, they're further off than Jeff Pasch wants to admit. If they need to get rid of the any restrictions on group gatherings. He also said that in order for things to take place in the fall, that he said, here's a quote from him. As long as we're still in a place where when a single individual tests positive for the virus, that you have to quarantine every single person who was in contact with them, then I don't think you can begin to think about reopening a team sport. He said, because we're going to have positive cases for a very, very long time. So that has to be sort of out of the way. You know, I came in contact with someone who tested positive. Right now, the way it's being treated is you now have to go quarantine yourself because you have to treat it as if you have it. He says that needs to change. We need to get to a point where that's no longer happening because if one guy tests positive on a team, now you've got an entire team that's quarantined for 14 days. He also said we'll make these decisions in consultation with our experts at the time, and that decision will not be made in isolation. The NFL will not be charting a course different than other professional sports or other parts of society. College sports, universities, businesses are the three things he said, which tells you another thing about the NFL. They are not feeling like they're going to send their guys out there if there are people that are still working remotely or people are not going back, you know, kids are not going back to school and right. college students are not going back to college. The league wants no part of that. They want to be in lockstep with how the rest of society is treating the pandemic. So those are real things to consider there about the possibility of a on-time start or any start for the NFL this fall.
Yeah, I mean, that seems the most realistic, right? Where you're taking everything into account and, you know, based on, you know, what Dr. Fauci has said and, you know, the way this thing is sort of being pushed back and continuing to be pushed back. There's so many things that I keep going back to, you know, when we travel, how many people are on our plane. You basically pick up your whole organization, you move it. You're at 350 plus going to do an away game. You're staying in hotels. I mean, there's so many different things to consider when you're attempting to travel 53 players as opposed to an NBA team or a hockey team. I mean, Jesus, we got 11, you know, audiovisual guys to travel that got to set up, but we take equipment with. There's so much in play here that people just think it's, okay, the team's going to show up and it's going to play. You know, you need to account for a lot. You basically sequester an entire hotel on the road. You need ballrooms for walkthroughs. You need ballrooms to eat. You know, then you need to clear the food. Then you need to clear, what do you call it? The halls at the hotel. I mean, the rooms. I mean, when are we going to get to a point to travel to where you feel safe staying in a hotel? With the amount of turnover and change in people and people coming from all different directions. There's so many things to consider here. At least he's being smart about this. That's what you have to do.
Go ahead. Brian, who's in Springfield. What's up, Brian?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Hey, Brian.
Good.
Good. I was actually just calling to call up a quick point about what do you think about, I know we're under salary cap, you know, disaster, basically. We have no money, but I know, what about trading Stephon Gilmore, the number 23 overall pick, and moving up to get the Lions pick at number 3, or maybe even a 4
you,
pick.
You want to throw Gilmore in and your first-round pick?
I don't want to, but what other solutions do you want to do? Do you want to just
solutions for what?
Not move
solutions
up to get the number 3? What do you want to do with the number 3 overall pick?
What problem are you solving?
Take Tua.
Oh, my God. He's going to come in and save you other than Gilmore? I'll roll with Gilmore on the 23rd pick.
I would love to have Stephon Gilmore on my team. He's the best corner in the league, but what other asset do we have? We don't have any. We have no draft collateral. We got a bunch of 3rd, 4th, 6th, and 7th. Like, who cares about that stuff?
Yeah. I think a lot of people say, who cares about giving up everything to get Tua?
Yeah, I mean, would you have again, back in 2001? You had a bunch of veterans on defense, and you had some young quarterback that you coached up, and you called plays, and you ran with it. Yeah, let's go.
This gets down to my fundamental, you know, misunderstanding and lack of savvy when it comes to drafting picks for players and all this stuff. I would so much rather have a guy on my team that I already know can play. And with Edelman, I understand that he's, you know, closer to the end than he is the beginning, but you know that whatever team he's playing on, he instantly makes them better. Stephon Gilmore? He's the best corner in the league. Yeah. It is the most important position on your defense in the NFL. But you're going to give up. I'm not giving up Stephon Gilmore for anybody. So to think that you're going to package
Patrick
him.
Mahomes?
Yeah. That's the guy. Period.
No, but that's what you have. That's what you. If Belichick's going to trade up to number 3, you have to think he thinks he's getting a guy.
Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe a little less than Patrick Mahomes, but a guy that's that Deshaun Watson level, right?
Yes.
He's got to think that a guy is that of that level if he's going to move up or consider moving up.
Yeah. And the only reason
I think he's wrong.
Of course. Yes, of course. I just want to know if it's from Zoe, though. If Zoe loved the quarterback, would he consider that move? If you loved Tua, or if you loved X quarterback, would you consider making that move?
Yeah, if they knew that, say, the kid Young from Ohio State was going to go number 1 overall, and somebody else is going to take maybe a tackle at 2, and you knew Joe Burrow was going to be there at 3, I'd say do it.
So you'd do Gilmore?
Not
for
Gilmore.
Burrow.
No, I'd do the other. I'd do Edelman and all those other picks, and your 23rd pick for Burrow.
What level of quarterback do you have to get to trade Gilmore?
I know intricate defense at this level. You could do so many things with a guy like Stephon Gilmore, and it's like, you know, you did it with Revis, you did it with Ty Law. You're allowed to do so many more things, and that's like the Hardy's point, the proven commodity. I would extend Gilmore. I'd make sure you have him locked up. Like, he's that good. He's that elite.
At what point do you say yes?
Mahomes, like, given the fact that KC would lose their mind to trade Mahomes tomorrow, I would do that.
And Jim, just to remain consistent, virtually nobody, because none of these guys you're talking about drafting have proven they can play in the NFL. Right.
No, I get your point, but I think Zoe's point is because he doesn't like the guy. I don't think Zoe's point is because of the...
I'm not in love with Tua. No, I'm in love with
Burrow. It's not worth trading up. It's just that it's not worth trading up for the guy that they're talking
Correct.
About.
And that is a major component of the conversation, of course.
But the fact that they're... If it's whispered that they're potentially interested in doing this, the only thing that keeps me involved in this conversation is the fact that were they really that involved with Baker Mayfield? You know, when his agent said that stuff, and if that's all true... then this is the same type of player as Mayfield. So this is why it's an entertaining conversation, because if they were that interested in getting Baker Mayfield, then I could see why they'd be interested in getting this guy. Now, I don't like the guy. No, not like the guys. I just don't think he's a fit. I think it's going to be tough for him at the next level. I do.
617-779-0985. We have discussed the possibility of Mookie Betts not playing a game for the Dodgers this year, and maybe not playing a game for the Dodgers ever if he follows through with going to free agency. What if Ron Renneke never manages the Red Sox? It's a possibility. Throw that into the mix coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know when you're starting to lose it?
What?
You know when you're starting to lose it?
What?
When you thought this song was... I thought this song was Gloria, not Valerie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. It's a good song. It's a good little
Steve
pop Bullock. Song, this song.
But you know what this is? The weather sucks today. This is one of those top down, windows down, nice day. Turn it up, crank it. One arm out the window.
Yeah. Turn it up, Jim.
It's like Tom. Tom's the same boy he used to be. His little bedroom doing his push-ups.
By the way, before we get to this baseball thing, I got to read you an email, though.
We got a dude. We got a live one out there somewhere.
It's nothing too crazy. It's just an interesting observation from Nick. Nick says he's a dedicated listener to the show. Thank you, Nick. He says, "Hey Beetle, anyone noticed that bottle of mouthwash on T-Bone's desk with his workout? I thought that was pretty random. LOL. I did not. Did you notice a bottle of mouthwash?
No, I didn't.
I didn't see that.
Nick did.
Maybe it's not mouthwash.
It's where I keep all my stuff."
What stuff?
Stuff.
All your possessions in the world, a bottle of mouthwash and...
all I have.
A lamp?
Yep. I'm a very simple man.
I love
lamp. Very simple man. Leave me alone.
I would typically keep that in the bathroom, but that's just me.
Oh, there it is.
Here's my question. What do you spit it in?
I'm looking at the bottle. How would he even know that was a bottle of mouthwash?
Where do you spit?
out the window.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I was looking at a different view.
Maybe he's not a spitter.
Clearly a bottle of mouthwash. My bad.
Maybe he's like your kids, though, when he's in the middle of something. You know, he just opens up the window and disposes of whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Sort of like Zoe's son, right?
Yeah, whatever,
sort of like Brody.
Whatever liquids happen to be in his body that he wants out, just right out the window. I know it only happened once that we know.
Well, he
of,
saw it. You did it, you know? So a guy can't yell at him.
Tom, do you make your bed?
Yeah.
The bed does not look made.
You can't bounce a quarter off that thing.
No. And bounce a quarter off his ass, though. Those glutes.
What's up,
you kidding me?
Glutes. It's raising the air high.
Unreal.
Enough.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yes. Strong. You get any great. How are the phone calls doing there, T-Bone? Good?
It's dried up.
Ah, damn.
It's old news.
It's old news. We learned last night that A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow will serve their suspensions even if there's no baseball season. The manager and GM, the guy who ran things for the Astros, they're both going to be eligible to work again next year, even if there's no season. They could be back. And T-Bone and I had the same thought last night as soon as we saw this story. Holy crap. Alex Cora could make a return without having missed a single game if he gets the same punishment. If Alex
Cora
gets
they haven't given the punishment yet.
They haven't, but they're going to at some point. And I imagine if they like get into June and they're at June and there's no, you know, there's no immediate baseball season about to happen, they're going to have to announce the punishment. And if those are the rules, it would, I believe, apply equally to everyone who was punished, including Alex Cora.
What's the delay here? Just write the damn thing and get it out.
So I think it's probably just because of everything that's going on. They don't want to be making announcements. They don't want to really. And I do sort of get it. You know, I do
kind
sort
of
understand.
But you're going to draw more attention to it if your season's canceled. Then you're going to throw it out. Like, hey, here we finally got around to writing it, people. You know, even though we're not going to have a season, we're going to still. What's going to be time served for him already? I don't think so. I think it's, go ahead.
There's so much bad news in baseball with there being no activity, and there's so much bad news in the world. I just think that baseball's probably why. I mean, we're anxious to hear what it is. We want to know. But I think they're probably just aware of the rest of the world not giving a damn outside of Boston. And they're just saying, do we really need to add this on to everything that else that's going on in the world? What's the point?
No, I understand that.
It's not like the season's about to begin.
Be a good time for a news dump for them, you know? Kind of get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But so imagine this. I don't think it would be the right move to bring him back. I think the Red Sox were right to fire him. And even though they called it like a mutual parting of the ways, he was going to get fired. But I think they want to bring him back. And I think that if he gets a one-year ban the way Luhnow and Hinch did, they're going to bring this guy back. I felt that way since the beginning. I think we all do. I think most people feel like the Red Sox would take this guy back in a second. And if they don't have a season, if the season gets canceled, Ron Renneke could have been the manager for a year and never manage a game. How much would that suck for him? No, here's your shot to be a manager again.
Yeah.
Actually, on second thought, never mind. We're taking it back. It's definitely something that could happen, and it's something that the Red Sox could have happen to them. Their manager gets suspended for a year, and he doesn't actually miss a game.
It's almost getting to the point where you even forget about the Houston Astros and what they would have had to gone through this year. You know, it just gets not swept under the rug, but it feels like it's like 5 years ago this happened.
We talked about the winners and losers yesterday. What a winner those Astros are.
Whew.
Astros, big fans of pandemics. The Astros love a good pandemic. Ugh. It's like that thing never happens. Like no one's going to remember that by the time this is all done.
Right. No one's going to talk about that. Right. Yeah.
So they definitely are benefiting from not having to play games and go out on the road and all that stuff.
And if those guys were suspended and all of a sudden, you know, they're not even going to play baseball and then, you know, their suspension's going to be up. It's like goes in line with like the Mookie Betts thing. Betts going to hit free agency and maybe not even have to play a damn game this year, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the way it's going to go.
617-779-0985. The noontime hour on a Friday is here. Could the NBA wrap up their season in Vegas? That's a big part of the conversation today. Let's jump back into that with your thoughts on Tua, your thoughts on the possibility of trading Julian Edelman, reaction to the NFL doctor making it sound like things are maybe far off. Also, we need to circle back to that and talk about the possibility of college football moving their season. We'll do all this coming up in the noontime hour. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.